This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, for the first time in over 100 years, a sitting House majority leader was defeated in his reelection earlier this week when conservative David Brat beat Eric Cantor. The following day, Cantor announced he would step down. Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford joined me for that discussion on Wednesday. And the White House was correct in saying that Al-Qaeda was on the run, but incorrect in suggesting they were running away. They're now chasing the Iraqi military right out of the country as city after city falls. Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe, ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, joined me with the latest out of the Middle East as Islamists marched on Baghdad. And I got his take also on the continuing fallout over the Bergdahl swap. Also, how does Planned Parenthood spend your tax dollars? How about teaching teens to engage in BDSM? Lime Action's Lila Rose explained what her latest undercover operation has netted when she joined me on Thursday. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics. You can also sign our petition for Miriam Ibrahim, the Sudanese woman who is still in prison in Sudan, along with her two children. The White House remains silent. We encourage you to sign the petition calling on the White House to speak out on her behalf. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, if the administration was hoping the haunting reality of the Bergdahl swap, releasing five high-priority terrorists, was going to go away, it's not. Earlier this week, during a hearing on Capitol Hill, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel came under fire as members of Congress began to ask questions. On Wednesday, I was joined by Oklahoma Congressman James Lankford, where he weighed in on the swap, as well as he gave the latest on Eric Cantor's big surprising election loss on Tuesday night. All right, I want to get to Bergdahl and that swap, which has Americans across the country incensed, and rightfully so. But the big news today, the upset yesterday here right outside of D.C. in Virginia, where Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, lost from in his race against David Brat. Basically unknown. But you're just, I think you're just coming out of a meeting on Capitol Hill. Where does the GOP go from here?
Yeah, I just literally walked out of that meeting just minutes ago. Eric Cantor has announced that he is stepping down from his leadership post as the majority leader as of the end of July. And the speaker set an election for a new majority leader the 19th of June. So next Thursday, House Republicans will have a leadership election. And we will see in the hours ahead how many people line up to be able to run for that position as majority leader, what that means. If there are other individuals like Kevin McCarthy, the current whip, if he runs, then that would also trigger elections for him in that position. And so this could be a pretty massive shift that happens in the leadership elections.
Now, James, this is a pretty huge political event that took place last night. It's been over 100 years since something like this has occurred, where a sitting majority leader was defeated in his reelection bid. No one saw this coming, or at least not many people saw it coming. What's the sense on Capitol Hill from a standpoint? Was there a message here that was being communicated to Republicans?
Well, it's interesting. There are a couple messages that are coming out of it. One is Cantor worked very hard in 2008 and 2009 to get the class of 2010 elected. Remembering that, we'll go back to 2008 and 2009, Republicans in the minority in the House obviously still are in the Senate. We had 63 Democrats that lost their seat in the election of 2010, completely flipped the House, and no one saw it coming. Cantor was one of those individuals traveling all over the country to make that happen. Well, the challenge seems to be is that he just kept traveling all over the country to be able to maintain those relationships, and he wasn't in his district enough, just didn't stay connected. Continued to make connections with other what people saw as a more of a business-friendly person rather than a grassroots conservative. And his district seemed to feel like he didn't represent the district anymore. He represented the whole country, but he didn't represent the district. And they wanted someone that represented the district and their values and their perspective and was going to be home.
Well, let's get to James. I want to talk about a couple of the issues which have been prominent, as well as the issue of him not being at home. I've certainly heard that. He's not been in the district. When you're a national leader, you are required to travel some. That does take you out of your district, but that's why you got to pretty much be in a pretty secure district to do that and reflect the values of those in your district.
That's correct.
His district is a pretty conservative district. And Eric is a personal friend. I've worked with him, but I do think that increasingly we've seen a number of Republicans that have taken on issues that are inconsistent with where the Republican platform is and where many conservative voters are. And I think he may have pushed too far. And I think one of the issues that's been out there that's been very prominent in the discussion in the last 18 hours has been the issue of immigration.
Right. It has been. He's been out front pushing on immigration and trying to get a serious immigration reform. He even made the statement today that his position on immigration has not changed at all in that. That's who he is, and that's what he believes, and he wants to be able to continue to be able to push that to resolve. And there are a lot of Republicans that say, yes, we see major issues in immigration as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had 3 million people here illegally in the 1980s. We now have 11 million people here illegally now. It's very obvious there are major problems, and there are things to be done. But to be more comprehensive, to in around on amnesty and other things like that, a lot of Republicans backed up and said, as a conservative, that's not who we are as a nation. That's not the solution we're looking for. And I think that came up as a district as well.
Yeah, and I would have to say, I would think that all the undercurrent that issue is going to come up before you leave for your August break, I have to think that goes away with this.
I would certainly assume that it does. And I was never convinced it was coming up before. I saw a lot of media buzz on it and some people talking about it around the edges, but I saw no enthusiasm among the conservative grassroots conservatives that are within the House to be able to take that on. Why would we negotiate with Harry Reid on any kind of immigration bill and assume that's going to turn out well?
Exactly. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman James Lankford of Oklahoma. James, I want to shift gears now and go to the issue of Bergdahl and the swap for the Taliban 5. And today on Capitol Hill, we had the Secretary of Defense basically making a statement in defense of this swap, and I want to play this clip of his comments earlier today, and then I want to get your reaction to it.
I want to make one fundamental point. I would never sign any document or make any agreement, agree to any decision that I did not feel was in the best interest of this country, nor would the President of the United States, who made the final decision with the full support of his national security team.
So, the full administration, then, I assume, is all on board with this. And I think they, but how are they defending this?
You know, what's interesting is you go back to 2011, they brought a deal very, very similar to this to the House and Senate Intel Committees, and said they want to be able to make this swap, and here's how they would do it. And the House and Senate Intel Committees, Republicans and Democrats alike, said this is a very bad idea. The current, at that time, Department of Defense Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta said also this is a bad idea. And then the administration walked away from it. Now they come back, and it's fascinating in a couple of ways. One is he reveals this is how different this body is that the president has put together, that the previous group would say this is a bad idea. So he brought people in that would tell him, yes, that this is a good idea. And then the people that in Congress that he knows would disagree with him, he just didn't tell them at all. So he went to his yes people around him. They all confirmed the yes that he was looking for, didn't seek outside advice. And one more thing that's interesting on this. Remember at the beginning of this debate when it came up that the president did not come to Congress and get the 30 days advance notice, which is required by law? He said, right. Well, this is so confidential and this is so classified that we just couldn't bring it to people outside the circle. And now Hagel talks today about how many people were involved in this decision and how many of them signed off, but, oh, by the way, we didn't have time to get to the House or Senate Intel Committees. So it just, again, shows the duplicity that's going on. They're searching for an answer, and every time they bring up an answer, it disregards the previous answer they gave.
You know, my dad used to tell me that. He said, you know, if you just tell the truth, you don't have to keep making up stories.
You know it's so much easier just to tell the truth the first time and keep, as my mom used to always say, you got to learn to keep your lies straight.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that.
Well, to add a little commentary to that, I understand the number of those in the administration who were informed of this prior to any member of Congress being informed was about around 80 members right. of the administration. So, I mean, we're not talking about just a
handful. We've had numbers between 80 and 90 that were informed of this. And again, they come back and say this is so classified we couldn't let it out. But, oh, by the way, when the president was going to take out Osama bin Laden, Congress was notified behind the scenes on that one. So apparently this is even more classified than the Osama bin Laden raid.
Right. And I mean, there's protocol by which there are members, leadership of both parties in both houses that are informed of these confidential, classified steps being taken. And, of course, they're held accountable for that as well. But in this case, completely sidestepping Congress. James, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you weighing in today and giving us the latest from Capitol Hill.
You bet. Glad to do it, Tony. Thanks for what y'all are doing.
Again, that was Congressman James Lankford of Oklahoma. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Senator Jim Inhofe, also of Oklahoma, joins us to talk about the developments in Iraq this week, and also he'll weigh in on the Bergdahl and the Taliban 5 swap. That's coming up on the weekend edition of Washington Watch right here. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. A mother needs your help. Facing death for her faith, Dr. Maryam Ibrahim has not wavered in her commitment to Christ. Sentenced to be hanged for converting to Christianity, Maryam awaits execution in a Sudanese prison with her toddler and days-old newborn. Join me in signing a petition we've created on the White House website to move the president to help Maryam and her children. We don't have much time, and Maryam and her children need our help. Please go to TonyPerkins.com and click on the link to the White House petition. That's TonyPerkins.com. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can sign up for my daily update right there. You can also find out information about coming up the end of this month, last Sunday of the month, a call to fall. If there was ever a time that we needed to be praying in this nation, it's now. And I would encourage you to get your church to sign up. Just spend 5 minutes on that Sunday praying for our nation. Well, major developments continued in Iraq this week. Insurgents inspired by al-Qaeda have continued to sweep through the region with very little resistance to speak of. The State Department has said the U.S. has sent critical weaponry to the Iraqi government, but didn't give much more detail than that. All of this coming on the heels of administration that was claiming al-Qaeda was on the run. Oklahoma Senator Jim Inhofe was with me on Thursday to break down what is happening in Iraq and also give his reaction to the Bergdahl swap. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, Tony, can you believe what's happening right now? I thought, and I've been on your program talking about all these other ones too, I thought Benghazi was as bad as it could get. The president lying and losing American lives for his career purposes, then the 5 terrorists that he released that are going back to kill Americans, then the 60,000 kids, and now Iraq. Let me say this about Iraq, because I just got off the phone with a guy named Brian Hackler. He works for me now, but he was in the Marines. He made 2 deployments to Fallujah, and he said all that sweat, blood, and tears for nothing. This is beyond.
In fact, I believe Fallujah was one of the most intense battles that was fought there in Iraq. Senator, it looks like our foreign policy has completely imploded under this administration.
Yeah, you're even being generous with that statement. It's a matter of not just foreign policy, but it's that they are doing things that militarily are just stupid. But these are things that are costing today American lives, Tony. This is not just an insignificant thing.
You know, Senator, we've been talking about this a lot lately, especially with the Bergdahl swap, and I'm going to ask you about that in a moment. But, you know, and people now are calling in on a regular basis and saying, you know, I knew this administration was incompetent, but I believe this goes beyond incompetence. I believe some of it's intentional. They're working working intentionally to undermine America, or they simply have no clue whatsoever.
And, you know, if I were to agree with that, I'd lose all credibility in going on, and because that'd be the first thing they'd accuse me of. But I have to tell you, those people have every reason to believe what they're believing now. This couldn't just keep happening over and over again. You know, on the Benghazi thing, and you and I talked about this early, the ambassador who lost his life was in my office right before he was deployed over there. He actually had, was, and I have a list on record of for 3 months prior to the 9/11 Benghazi attack that they were planning to do it. He was pleading for reinforcements and for security, and he was rejected by the president. Then the four advisors, who are the CIA director, the director of intelligence, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the Secretary of Defense, all four of them knew the very day that the annex was attacked in Benghazi that it was an organized terrorist attack. We have all of that. Now they're just kind of rediscovering that, even though that happened over a year ago. So these things are just beyond description.
Well, I want to ask you about this because I know you're a veteran of the Army. I'm a Marine veteran, and I have heard, I mean, every day, as soon as I open up the phone lines here in just a moment, I can guarantee you I'm going to hear from veterans who are going to be talking about either the VA scandal in which, you know, we've been lying, not only lying to our veterans, but lying about how we're treating our veterans. But then this Bergdahl swap, a guy who was a, who we have all the evidence suggests he walked away from his post, was a deserter at best, a traitor at worst. And we traded five of the Taliban's top commanders for him. They're having a hard time understanding that.
Well, it's no wonder that I've got kind of an idea of what's behind that. First of all, I've said on a lot of programs that I think maybe we're spending too much time on Bergdahl. That causes people to not really realize that this horrible act was actually our president. It was Obama that turned these people loose. And these are the worst of the worst. But my feeling is this. This president has I would say several, but his primary goal, his obsession that's been there since before he was president, was to close Gitmo. And I can't help but think that's exactly what this is all about. So this all this stuff put together, and you, no, I'm not defending, by the way, Bergdahl. He was, from all evidence that we have from what people have said, he's somewhere between a deserter and a traitor. But again, that's not the big crime. The big crime
right.
is the president.
Absolutely. And Senator, one last question on that topic. Could this be the final straw? I mean, will we see Congress react in a? Because I've even seen some of your Democratic colleagues who have really been crying foul over this.
Oh, they have, and I've been very proud of them. And I think particularly the 8, 9. Well, actually, it's closer to 10. Endangered species, those Democrat incumbents in the Senate are probably going to lose. They're jumping away from Obama on all these other things. It started with, of course, with Benghazi, and now it's come all the way around to Iraq. So, yeah, they're abandoning him and are speaking out pretty strong. Now, the question is, what can Congress do? And we can control funds, but again, it doesn't, because if we were to put money in there for the purpose of allowing them to start using surveillance and intelligence and maybe giving equipment and all that, there's no assurance that the president couldn't stall it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the, people say do something. Well, you know, never in my political career, in my memory, did it ever occur to me that we would have a president of the United States who would be doing things to supporting the enemy. And so our system isn't set up to deal with this kind of a situation.
Yeah.
It's public opinion is going to bring it down. That's the only thing I can think of.
All right, Senator, thanks so much for joining us. As always, appreciate your keen insight onto what's happening on Capitol Hill, in particular in the military and foreign policy.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
Again, that was Senator Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Planned Parenthood, what are they up to now? Lila Rose has another expose, an undercover effort, which pulls back the curtain once again to show you what Planned Parenthood is doing with your tax dollars. Don't go away. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this.
Imagine you own a business. You take great care of your workers and provide health insurance. One day, the government mandates that you pay for your employees' contraceptives, including drugs that could end a human life. You're facing millions of dollars in fines, but you're reluctant to violate your conscience. What would you do? Hobby Lobby and other companies are facing this attack. Here at FRC, we're fighting to protect their conscience and yours. For more information, visit frc.org/mandate resources.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, we discuss on this program a lot the reality of what our kids are being exposed to, whether it's through school, friends, television, or movies. You know, it really takes vigilance as a parent to stay up with what your children are being exposed to and to protect them. And I'll tell you what, Planned Parenthood, America's largest abortion provider, isn't making it any easier as they promote sexual promiscuity. Live Action recently went undercover to expose some of the sexual education that Planned Parenthood promotes. I'll tell you, the only word I can find to describe it is perverted. Now, there's a video that Live Action has put together on their website. You can see it by going to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. But let me warn you, viewer discretion is advised. Well, on Thursday, Lila joined me to talk about this latest undercover expose on Planned Parenthood. Lila, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good, and you've been quite busy as you've yet pulled back the curtain once again on Planned Parenthood to show what they're up to.
Yes, but very disturbing stuff. Not that other exposés haven't been disturbing, but this is particularly graphic because we're getting a peek into what Planned Parenthood is promoting sexually to teenagers in our country. And keep in mind, in all of this, they're getting taxpayer funds to do this. They get over $500 million currently from federal and state government. And under Obamacare, they're first in line to receive up to $75 million more under the PrEP program at whatever the HHS is going to want to do. And keep in mind, they have a big relationship with the administration right now. So we're talking about tax-funded teen sex education. And these videos are extremely disturbing because they give you a peek of what that looks like.
It is quite amazing as to, and it's not even like they're hiding it. It's very much out in the open of what they're doing, and you've seen this on their website. And then as you have gone undercover, as your team has gone in, they have been very open about what they're teaching young kids to do.
Right, and they have videos on, like you say, Tony, on their website teaching kids how to practice bondage sadomasochism, which is basically torture sex, you know, using whips, asphyxiation, violence, first of all, encouraging promiscuity, and then on top of that, encouraging destruction during sex. I mean, it's completely sickening, and our undercover tapes just go into the graphic detail. I mean, it's very hard to watch. It's really unbelievable of Planned Parenthood workers coaching who they think are 15-year-old girls and how to practice these destructive and violent, really abusive sexual behaviors.
You know, it's amazing to me. We hear everything from the left about the war on women, and I cannot think of anything that's more degrading than some of the things that I saw on this video in terms of what they were describing. And you talk about a war on women. I mean, that to me is a real war on women. We're talking about the type of activities they are encouraging people to engage in.
Yes, exactly. And there's nothing more of a war on women than telling little girls that being treated with sexual violence is not only okay, but it's normal. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to normalize bondage sadomasochism, normalize these horrific sexual violent behaviors, tell little girls that they should experiment with it. On our tape, Tony, they're also telling these girls, they're saying you can go to a sex shop, how to access pornography, how to hide this from parents online, saying that they should experiment. And all of this without any discussion, not, of course, of protecting her physically, but of the pregnancy, the disease. I mean, these are things that can break skin with some of these violent sexual techniques. This can break skin. This can spread STDs. None of that is even close to the conversation. Instead, it's all about how to increase the amount of pain this little girl should experience. I mean, it's really sick stuff. But keep in mind, this is what's being tax-funded and what they're trying to normalize and mainstream in our country.
It is amazing, and it's amazing to me, Lila, that now that you've been kind of on the trail of Planned Parenthood now for a number of years, that you are continually finding more. And as you went undercover, or as your team went undercover, they were very open in saying this stuff. And, of course, it was captured on video, and that's a part of what is at your website, which people can see if they go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. You would think that they would have cleaned up their act knowing that you're out there watching them.
They can't, Tony. They can't clean up their act because they're committed to abortion first, and they're committed to a radical, dangerous sexual ideology. They commit, as you know, 320,000 abortions every year of our precious unborn brothers and sisters. They are committed to saying to kids that you're sexual from birth, that you should have access to all of these sex techniques, you should experiment, you should be promiscuous. As long as you use a condom, you're fine, and you should be doing this even from kindergarten. I mean, they're trying to get this, market their materials, even to kids as young as in grade school. And this is their agenda, so you can't change what they built their whole organization, their whole corporation on. And that's why doing these exposés, in one sense, are difficult and challenging, but the research is out there. The information is out there. We're just trying to get it in front of American parents, in front of American taxpayers, in front of the media, legislators, and say, look, this is what's happening in our communities. And, you know, yes, what happens federally matters. We need to defund Planned Parenthood, but we shouldn't just wait for that. We can take action in our communities. If you're a parent or an educator or just someone who cares about teens in your community, you can call your local school health board, your superintendent, the principal, and ask them point blank, or have a meeting and say point blank, do you have a relationship with Planned Parenthood? And if they have, if they even stutter, you know something is probably up, and you should lobby, show these tapes, show the information that's online, lobby for that relationship to be stopped, because we can make an impact about what happens at the community level to stop Planned Parenthood from putting this junk, this toxic and destructive stuff in front of our teenagers.
Again, that was Lila Rose. To find out more about what Live Action is doing, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. She also has a petition, which I would encourage you to go to the website and sign so that she can help build support for the defunding of Planned Parenthood, something we're working with her on. Well, folks, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate you listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Again, to find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, in the meantime, until we meet again, let me leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. You've done everything you can do. When you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.